World can be an ugly place, as ugly as a mentally unwell man dressing up in women's clothes and doing strip dances in front of children. Ugly, like a concerned father raising legitimate issues with confused and sexually driven teenage boys using the girls' bathroom uncontested and having that father shut down and removed from a school board trustee meeting. Ugly like a feminist prime hypocrite that supports ideologies that will eviscerate women's sports, put women in very unsafe circumstances, and destroy the beauty of true femininity. Ugly like a truly disturbed man wearing two obscenely large prosthetic breasts while teaching shop class, which, by the way, is a serious hazard while operating a bandsaw. Yes, friends, the world can be an ugly place, and yet we can affirm the words of that great hymn, "Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing." It's March 16th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. That's Matt Halleck. And this is the Liberty Dispatch.
What a beautiful intro, Andrew. Welcome back, everybody, to the Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. As always, we are so thankful that you have joined us. We ask that you would subscribe, rate, review, like all our various shows. That way we can get our content out to more people. The algorithms will say, hey, we're doing a good job, and then it'll send our content out to more people. It'll be more accessible and viewable for everybody else. Also, you can view our content on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. We are resident over there, flfnetwork.com. We and many other wonderful podcasts are over there, so you're definitely not going to want to miss out going over there. And also, you can get us direct on demand on your phone or your iPad or whatever it might be by going to the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, and downloading that handy Fight Laugh Feast app, which I understand is kind of going through some renovations and is going to have a wonderful update. So I'm looking forward to even that being a better resource and a tool for everybody in the coming days. Also, everything that we have going on, Liberty Coalition Canada, is over at libertycoalitioncanada.com. That's our website. Sign up for the email list at the bottom of the page. And if you could, we would just suggest that you would prayerfully consider leaving a donation at the top of the page on that donate tab. You can scan the QR code right there at the bottom of the screen, or go over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. Every little donation goes a long way. It helps us build the institution that we are looking to build and fight back against the mainstream narrative, which is needed now more than ever. So we really do appreciate all the giving that you've done already, and we do ask that you prayerfully consider continuing to support us. If you do want a charitable tax receipt, be sure to, if you're sending in checks or cash or whatever it might be through mail, you have to make that out to Christian Week. That way it can get to the news and analysis arm of what we're doing here, because Christian Week is our partner in media. So be sure to make that out to the right place so we can steward your funds well. And again, that's libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. If you would like to reach out to us directly, please be sure to go over and reach out to us at mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com with any questions, comments, concerns regarding the programming. If you have any questions about giving, that's give@libertycoalitioncanada.com. And any church-related questions, my man Andrew DiBartolo will be more than happy to help you out, and we're so blessed that we get to help out so many of you, connect with good local bodies of believers in your area, and that's churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Yeah, three quick things. One, make sure that you utilize the algorithm. So on all of our channels, YouTube, Rumble, our Twitter page, our Facebook page, make sure you like our content, share our content, comment on it, subscribe to our channels. Let's continue to push our content out to more and more people. Mm-hmm. For a mailbag question, it's not really related to the topic, but it's related to the reading of the lyrics of the hymn I did in the lead-in. What's your favorite hymn and why? I'm just curious to know, what is your favorite Christian hymn and why is it your favorite hymn in as few or as many words as you would like? And then that's, with regard
like
to
trying to pick your favorite child, Andrew,
it is, it's easy for me. Should I say mine now?
Let's go. What do you got?
My favorite hymn is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Okay. I mean, that's a good one.
I like that it's written in a limerick, right? Yeah. It's very difficult to find something in a limerick that isn't a silly poem for kids.
Yeah.
So by the way, for our audience, if you don't know what a limerick is five lines. Lines 1, 2, and 5 all rhyme, and lines 3 and 4 rhyme, but they're separate. Really great, really great hymn. Highlights the sovereignty of God, the eternal purpose and kindness of God to his people. Anyway, that's my pick. So what's your favorite hymn and why? And then with regard to supporting us, we would ask you again, support the work we're doing here. We want to add more shows. We want to add more content. We have some pretty big, exciting plans coming up soon for our news and analysis. And like Matt said, if you head to the website, it's pretty easy. If you send a check, make it payable to Christian Week. If it's a need transfer, make sure you put Christian Week in the comments. We also want to invite you, if you're so inclined, to please support our Liberty Defense Fund. Mm-hmm. We have some work coming up there. We are going to appeal Josh's suspension. And then we're also in the process of filing with the Ontario Human Rights Commission. And so there's work that we're doing on our end that we're going to be pushing back against this woke nonsense that we see. So few housekeeping things.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do need help supporting Josh in his stand against the trans agenda, which will be the topic that we are covering on today's program. So if you want to push back in a healthy way, if you want to push back against this woke behemoth, you got to help us and you got to support us so we can help those who are speaking out and standing up against that woke behemoth. It is very important stuff.
So I know that 2021 and 2020, and even now 2022, it feels like they're a lifetime ago. It feels like that was a whole other existence. But I remember businesses forcing their employees to muzzle their faces, or businesses firing people unless they can prove that they'd put an experimental jab in them. Whatever happened to workplaces being about hard work, integrity, and respecting others' rights and freedoms? That's why you need to connect with Red Balloon today. If you're a Canadian business that wants solid employees who don't care about having a woke, statist, ESG-friendly workplace, then sign up at redballoon.org/LCC to post jobs for great employees. If you're looking for a workplace that will respect your rights, freedoms, and conscience, sign up at redballoon.org/LCC to find great employers. And if you're a business owner, there are a ton of resources for you at redballoon.org/LCC, helping you establish a non-woke HR, making your business cancel-proof and anti-fragile. Let's make Canadian businesses strong. Let's build a solid economy together at redballoon.org/LCC. Well, let's just jump right into the trans madness. That's what this episode is about. It is about trans madness. And the reality is that I'm going to say this at the outset, is that Canada as a country is now trans, because we were once a Christian-based country that elevated the freedoms and the truths in our midst, but now we have transed into a socialistic, woke, intersectional, neo-Marxist, pagan, statist country. So Canada has completed essentially full transition from the true North, strong and free, into, as we saw last episode, some mutated version of China that is rather woke and rather statist. So last Tuesday, an Ottawa Carleton District School Board meeting, there was a father who attempted to raise concerns about trans-identified male students using female washrooms. This man was, by any sane and reasonable measure, justified in his concerns. However, he was shut down just 1 minute into his 4-minute speech. He wasn't even allowed to finish his 4-minute speech. He was raising the issue of male students being allowed to use the same bathroom as his 12-year-old daughter and pointing out how, quote, sexually driven, close quote, adolescent males can be. We know this. However, the concerned father was interrupted by one particular trustee, a familiar villain for our audience. Let's watch this together.
Thank you. My name is Nick Morabito. I'm a father of four children in the school board at three schools. My daughters are 10, 12. My sons are 14 and 16. The six of us have lived in Manitou for 10 years, and I grew up in Kanata. I became aware a few weeks ago that trans students, in particular students that were assigned a male gender at birth, are allowed to use the same bathroom unsupervised as my 12-year-old daughter. Having a 14-year-old boy and having been a 14-year-old boy before, and as a male, knowing how sexually driven a male's body is at the age of 13 onwards, this did not sit well with me. I wasn't present at the board meeting that pushed this policy through, and I can't figure out when this was done. My oldest friends can attest to my belief in the safety and inclusivity of all people. I always have. But this is about having appropriate and safe boundaries for progression and doing things in line with the parental community's wishes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Morabito, on the grounds that this creates an unsafe environment for people who identify as gender diverse, I'm going to have to ask you to end your delegation.
How does this provide an unsafe environment? Can anyone answer me that? What?
That's what they do.
We're going to take a 2-minute recess.
Cowards, honestly. I have a 10 and 12-year-old daughter. I have every right to speak.
He was given 4 minutes.
He has 4 minutes to speak. Who are you to stop him? You work for the public. He's a member of the public and a concerned parent. You're not even listening to him. You're not even listening to him.
You really should. What? I used all the right words.
There you have it, Andrew. The thing that's so crazy, Andrew, if I could interject, is he just said at the end, I used all the right verbiage. He did. He used
assigned at birth. Assigned a male gender at birth. I heard him like, he's really trying to get in there. Yeah.
I mean, he played their stupid game, and this is what he won, was getting kicked off for making people unsafe. That was the most innocent and benign way of going about raising a concern over this stuff, but that just shows you how ideologically committed these insane folks are to this agenda, that even raising a modicum of concern is way out of bounds as far as they're concerned.
Now, like I said earlier, the person who shut it down is a familiar villain for our audience, so the question Indeed. Is, who was that woke and brainwashed trustee? Well, none other than our friend, this woman, Dr. Mass Formation Psychosis.
No, so the language that you use when you say something like normal is a far-right language of anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers, and ableists. There is nothing that you are saying that is based in science or medicine. What you are saying is based in right-wing anti-mask, anti-vax ideology. In Ontario, the politicians have pandered to a very small group of people who occupied our streets in Ottawa, who have gone around spreading misinformation like wildfire. But I care deeply if you give my patient, who is already struggling to breathe walking down the block, I care deeply if you cause my 95-year-old in long-term care to be locked in again. And I care deeply if you cause my nurse colleagues to get sick on the job. You need to take away the fear-mongering, and you need to start talking about civic responsibility and empathy.
But you know what she doesn't care deeply about? She doesn't care deeply about girls being abused and raped by boys who are pretending to be girls. That's what she doesn't care about, because all she cares about is being woke and virtue signaling. So
she doesn't care about the innocence and the purity of children. In that sense, she's a sicko. She's truly mentally ill. And
you can hear her voice. It's like there's something wrong. She has been damaged by the last 3 years.
I think she confuses being hypersensitive, shrill, and hysterical with being intellectual. But I guess she has a degree from Yale, so there's the state of Ivy League.
By the way, we should link that. That video was from a longer video that we examined together with Dr. Yes. Peter McCullough. So we should link to that, and you can see.
If you want to hear
segments, it's unbelievable.
If you want to hear
about her, is also very instructive.
Yeah, if you want to hear Dr. McCullough destroy her and all her nonsense, we will link in the description below on a very well viewed episode that we would still ask you to watch and share if you have not yet done that.
So the school board addressed, quote, concerns that content from the meeting is discriminatory and causes harm towards trans and gender diverse people, close quote. When the father questioned what part of his speech was creating an unsafe environment, like you saw, crickets, of course, because no one could actually make a valid argument other than to say your words are causing violence.
Sounds like question period. It sounds like question period in Parliament when Justin Trudeau's answered a yes or no question. Although instead of crickets, he goes on and says nothing for 20 minutes.
So then he and a group of people who'd shown up to support him, they were asked to leave the premises right after this. When they protested, the police were called. Now, Dr. Mass Formation Psychosis had this to say to the Ottawa Citizen the following day on Wednesday, quote, "We didn't know what he was going to say until he started to speak. There is no way to frame it other than transphobia. This space has to be a respectful space. No other way to frame it? How about concerned father that knows the proclivity of teenage boys who doesn't want his 12-year-old daughter abused and or raped?" That could be another way to frame it, right? No, but it has to be transphobia.
Yeah, Andrew, and when I was going to school, you know, there was always a little taboo about going in the girls' washroom, and you would joke about, oh, should we do it? Should we not do it? But we didn't obviously do it because we understood that that was their space and that that belonged to them. And yet,
yeah, it's about those scenes in movies where boys will like drill holes through the walls to peep into the girls'.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, we're doing something we shouldn't do.
Yeah,
and now it's, come on in, boys.
Yeah.
Like that's Dr. Mass Formation Psychosis wants.
Take the doors off the wall, let them all in. And yeah, no, exactly. Again, we have to understand what is happening here because this is really, really insidious. If we look at the actual language that is being used by Dr. Mass Formation Psychosis, as you like to call her, Andrew, it's really, really gross because what she's saying, you know, the parent in this case used all the right verbiage. He was not making a ferocious attack on the trans movement. It was pretty benign. He was raising concerns about the fact that sexualized children who are going through puberty, are men and women are now sharing the same intimate spaces. And he has grave concern as a parent of two younger teenage daughters about what this is actually going to mean, because he obviously knows, he was a young boy himself, he knows just the culture and all the things that are going on at that age group in schools, and that's why he's raising a concern. But listen to what Dr. Mass Formation Psychosis has to say to this Ottawa Citizen, as you point out. We didn't know what he was going to say until he started to speak. There is no way to frame it other than transphobia. So any objection to the total androgenization of school bathrooms, to the full capitulation to the trans mob and the intoleristas of the LGBTQ community, nothing but full capitulation to their agenda, is anything but a phobia, a dangerous, harmful, irrational fear of the other. That is how this is framed. This space is a respectful space. So what she's saying is school board meetings, they're not for anybody who would oppose the trans or the sexual revolution ideology. That is really crazy, because she's essentially saying every single person in this community ought to be disenfranchised, their voice shut and silenced in these spaces, unless if they fully support our ideological agenda. And she's the nutcase who's claiming that using the word normal is a far-right anti-vax conspiratorial dog whistle. She's the one who's over and over and over again denying actual science to virtue signal when it comes to masks and vaccines and all the like. She herself is the insane person who is fear-mongering and has obviously turned just normal conversation or dispute into a grave phobia. This is the iron law of woke projection. She is truly afraid of reality. She's truly afraid of even this, the most benign criticism of her position. And what you see there is she's totally unable and unwilling. She has a general disdain for this man and parents like him that she's not even going to offer him an explanation. She's not even going to give him the time of day. She's going to cut him off surreptitiously 1 minute into a speech before he could actually even raise a complaint, right? We understand that he didn't even get to the part where he raised a legitimate complaint. He just set the context of why he was here as a concerned parent, and they shut him down. And that is what's truly despicable of what we're seeing here is apparently, if you are not fully on board with the DEI sexual revolution, then you are not even worthy of having a voice within the school board, the community that your kids attend. That is despicable. That is, for all these crazy people who say, oh, undemocratic, that is undemocratic. You're not allowing the man to speak and raise legitimate concerns. And you're giving him time, 4 minutes, which isn't a lot of minutes, to speak. And then you're cutting him off at one with no justification. That's despicable. That should be beneath a public servant. But we all know the left is not, they're not public servants. They like to use that title, but they're there to serve themselves and their special interest groups.
Well, we covered a story not that long ago about a school board trustee in Durham Region that was banned from school board trustees meetings for the rest of the year because this person was brazen enough to say, if a student expresses feelings that they're another gender, we should probably tell their parents. To which the school board said, no, you're not allowed here. That's transphobic, right? And I'll also note that Dr. Mass Formation Psychosis is probably still upset that she lost the vote to try to make masks mandatory. Earlier in the school year, she's like, we got to put masks back on kids because we hate them and we don't want them to learn. She lost that vote. She's still probably burning because of that.
Yeah, and we should mention, too, this is her and the school boards in this area saying, we are better than you, parents. We know more than you, parents. We know how to keep children safe better than you. We know your children better than you. We're essentially going to be the de facto parents here. Mm-hmm. And anybody who would disagree with the way that this panel of experts, this Soviet, this council, decides to do things, they ought to be disenfranchised, shut up, silenced, and, you know, slandered. Honestly, because that's what she adds slander when she's talking to the Ottawa Citizen to this. And yet she's not unique in this position. And that's why we always say, we're well past time to get people out of public schools.
I'll note here quickly before we move on, a study released recently from the Correctional Services of Canada, and we've linked to the study as well. The study has shed some light on what they call gender diverse offenders. So what the study found was that trans people account for 0.4% of the general offender population, while they represent about 0.3% of the Canadian population. That's according to the latest census data. So technically, they are overrepresented in the general offender population. 40% of these offenders were serving a second or subsequent sentence, and a whopping 86% of them were violent offenders. 62%, about two-thirds of these, were confused men who think they're women. 21% were confused women who think they're men. The remaining 17% were some other category, like two-spirited or gender fluid. So if we just use general population metrics here, let's say about half of the remaining 17% was men. This means that of all trans offenders, 70% of them are biological males, and over 85% of them are violent offenders. Is it really that unreasonable for this dad in Ottawa to say that he is concerned with biological boys using girls' bathrooms? Of course not. Of course it is unreasonable, given what we know statistically. However, woke people like Dr. Mass Formation Psychosis will back policies that will inevitably harm girls, all in the name of the woke agenda.
Yeah, and I think we all saw the striking footage of a dad being tackled by police at a school board meeting in Virginia about a year or so ago. And then the story that came out subsequently from Chris Rufo reporting it and saying, listen, that was the dad of a girl who had been sexually assaulted by a trans woman. Mm-hmm. A male who was using the same facilities as her, and she was assaulted on multiple occasions, and the school tried to cover it up. They tried to sweep it under the rug, and it was only through great investigative reporting that that was actually revealed to be happening in the school. So we have contemporary evidence that this is going on, that school boards who are for this woke agenda are trying to cover this up for ideologically motivated people who are actually risking the safety of female students for an ideological agenda, not just harming people by objecting to their worldview, so-called. We have evidence that this goes on, and that is why, you know, legitimate concerns raised by parents ought to be heeded by the school board. Neely Kaplan-Murth is an idiot. She's a fool. She's an idiot. She's a fearful, hateful human being.
She's clearly unhinged.
She's totally unhinged. And she has totally lost the plot as it pertains to what her role is. She is elected to a responsibility where she is, you know, speaking and serving on behalf of parents. But what she thinks she's doing, she thinks she's the expert, the be all end all, the emperor in Ottawa, in that school district.
Correct all these backward parents who just need to come into the 21st
century. And it's her job to disabuse every student within that school board of the prejudices of their evil backwards parents. And that's the ideology that we're seeing play out here, and just the disdain that Neely has for this man. It comes out clearly. But Canadian citizens, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to let these ideological tyrants trans our kids? Are we going to continue to shut up our mouths because it's uncomfortable to go to school board meetings and to have confrontation and disagreement? You know, we really have to consider what we're going to do about this, because if we do nothing, these crazy, unhinged, lunatic ideologues are going to destroy whatever vestige of anything remotely looking like education exists in those public spaces.
Well, it's okay, because we're going to take your kids out of public schools anyways. Separating money from the state is a core tenet of Bitcoin's ethos, a permissionless network where the individual is in full control and accountable for his own property. Bull Bitcoin, Canada's most trusted exchange since 2013, is built around this ethos and leverages it in its mission to end central banks forever. At Bull Bitcoin, where security and privacy are priority, they take it upon themselves to empower individuals. head to mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC today and get started with your account's creation. Contact Bull's best in the business customer support team at any point throughout the process to request assistance. mission.bullbitcoin.com/LCC. Take control of your money. So the transmania continues. The transmits, like, it's like Hulkamania. Hulkamania swept through the nation, swept through the world with students dyeing their hair blonde and ripping old t-shirts. And now transmania is sweeping through the nation where students are really mutilating their genitals and putting on the clothes of the opposite sex. It's a rather sad mania, but the trans madness continues. Matt, why don't you take us into the next story?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's forwarded and championed by the people at the highest heights of power in Canada. And while we're on the topic, Andrew, of confused men, there might be no better specimen for that than our right honorable prime feminist, Justine Trudeau, who is either the most aloof and unaware human being on the planet, or an internet troll playing 4D chess. Come on, we know which one it is. Here is a tweet from our prime minister on International Women's Day. So what you can see on our screen needs some context. We have to set it up first. So first, our right honorable prime hypocrite, Justine Trudeau, first tweeted this. When women and girls are empowered, entire families, communities, and societies succeed. So today, as we mark #IWD2023 and celebrate the incredible women and girls in our lives, let's keep working to build a more equal and equitable future. We've talked about how those actually can't coexist in the same ecosystem, but he's an idiot and he will, anyways. Then, just a few minutes later, he tweeted what is on the screen now. And with a disturbing rise in anti-transgendered hate here in Canada and around the world recently, I want to be very clear about one more thing. Trans women are women. We will always stand up to this hate whenever and wherever it occurs. So on International Women's Day, here we have our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
It's gotta be a troll, though, right? Like it just feels like it's a troll.
Trans women are women plus. Mm-hmm. They're women plus, and women plus are even better than just normal women, is what he's trying to say. Because women plus are the future. It's truly despicable, and it. For a feminist, he is totally undermining the very notion of what femininity is. So he is obviously showing just total and utter disdain for supposedly the sector of the population he's most concerned about promoting in his agenda. But Andrew, this type of silliness, this type of confusion is nothing new. And we want to play right now quickly a video from about a month or so ago. And it's a video of the winner of the Miss Universe competition. And I have to say that it appears that this is the kind of world that our prime minister prefers, a delusional fantasy world where every day is opposite day. So let's look at our right honorable prime hypocrite's, his influential, his inspiration, I suppose.
His utopia, where he wants the world.
Yes, yes.
Universe organization. From now on, it's going to be ran by women, owned by trans women. For all women. for all women really around the world to celebrate the power of feminism.
There we go. Celebrating the power of feminism by giving women plus, aka men, trophies for being Miss Universe. That's how far the sexual revolution has gone, that women are now being displaced over and over again by men who are wearing women face and degrading what it actually means to be feminine. And they're being honored in every single space for this horrible, degrading, and insulting act that they're doing. It's truly crazy, Andrew, but this is the world that we now live in.
Yeah. So for those of you who weren't watching, you're like, that sounds like a man receiving the Miss Universe award. And you would be correct. That was a man dressed as a woman winning a competition for who the best woman in the world is. And that is the kind of world, this is the utopia that our prime minister hopes for. Now, our friend, Pastor Steve Bainbridge, he's been on the show before. He's written an open letter to Justin Trudeau. We've linked that letter as well. I just want to read a portion of it because I think Steve is totally on point. And his tone, there's some good sarcasm in his tone, and I think it's needed. So this is from Steve's letter. In your statement, you expressed concern over a disturbing rise in anti-transgender hate here in Canada. As a prime minister, you should understand people are allowed to disagree with someone's sexual ethics. The LGBTQIA2S+ agenda that is being pushed into people's homes, education centers, and workplaces is more of an issue than what you call disturbing. If you want to promote it, you best be prepared to have feedback. The second matter is that you stated trans women are women. If you would like to qualify this statement, sir, seeing you so recklessly speak authoritative biological language, it would be prudent to back it up. I assume you deny the biblical account of creation and mock those who do according to the preamble of Bill C-4. But perhaps since you are an expert on this, you could educate the populace on how it is possible for your statement to be correct. May I ask you why it is that only males have an Adam's apple? What about the prostate and anatomy to produce sperm? The absence of a womb, fallopian tubes, cervix, and milk glands that allow nursing a child? If you're able, please aid me and the large majority of Canadians in your educated expertise. Please also include your academic knowledge regarding the XX and XY chromosomes and how this changes because you said so. You ended your tweet with, "We will always stand up to this hate, whenever and wherever it occurs." Mr. Prime Minister, why are you violating your oath and showing strong discrimination against Christians with your strong liking of another group? Do not all Canadians deserve respect and space to exercise their fundamental freedoms? You do not stand up when Jesus Christ is publicly mocked and when Christian churches are burned. You never speak up on why Christians should have prayer rooms in schools like that of Muslims, nor do you act strongly against attacks on international Christians who are being executed at the hands of Islamic extremists. Your prejudice is evident, as is your agenda.
Yes, Andrew, and it's also worth noting that the federal government just invested $90,000 into Spectrum, an exclusive LGBTQ+2SWXYZ sports league in Waterloo. The investment comes as Sports Canada survey of Canadian female athletes found that a majority, 91.7%, think women should have the right to dedicated female leagues, and 88% believe trans women have a competitive advantage over women. So, despite the insanity of Neely Kaplan-Murth, despite the idiocy of our prime minister, I am, relatively happy to see that our fellow Canadian citizens haven't drunk the Kool-Aid so deeply that they're denying what is
well,
so
female,
obvious. Well,
female athletes know what's what, right? This survey was a female athlete. They know what's what.
Yeah.
They know that.
So good on you, girls.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But again, this is the kind of world that our prime minister would want. And here they are funding this LGBTQAIIPP plus sports league. That's our money funding this league. I joked with someone earlier that, you know, it's people have said before, we should have a steroids only league where everyone who's hopped up on the juice goes because they're all a bunch of cheaters who can't hack it in the regular league. So we throw them all. That's what this is. This is a league of sad and pathetic men who can't do well when they're competing against other men. And so what they need to do is they need to compete now against other weak, sad, and pathetic men whose bodies have undergone some sort of chemical or physical alteration because they just can't hack it in the regular men's sports league. And now our money's paying for it.
And the fact of the matter is Justin Trudeau is an ideological actor. And when he puts trans women are women, he's for somebody who says he is science and he speaks authoritatively as a representative of what's true and scientific. He can't be further from the truth, obviously, biologically and scientifically, because every single cell of a male's body, it's not just the genitalia that is XX or XY, depending on what you are. It's every single cell of your body corresponds with your chromosomal DNA. And we know that that is so very important to take into account, that the more and more that we study actual science, we understand that, you know, the male and female genetic structure is more susceptible to some men and women are susceptible to more different diseases. You know, it matters at every point that we are either XX or XY, male or female, which is in accord with the biblical account of creation. But what we see here, again, over and over again, anti-science, anti-truth, ideological, woke actors.
Anti-woman.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. In the name of feminism, we're destroying what it actually means to be female. We're destroying the uniqueness, the dignity, the worth, the value of how God's created the fairer sex, the crown of the crown of creation. You know, women are beautiful and should be honored and should be respected. And this sexual revolution has gone so off the rails that in the name of feminism, it's destroying actual females. And it's disenfranchising and silencing and displacing and decentering actual females. There you have it, progressives. You've flown off the cliff. So, anyways.
Well, I know that the mandates have dropped and it feels like we're kind of back to normal, whatever that means. But if you're in this audience, you know that's not true. It's only a matter of time before the Davos crowd tries to tighten the screws again. If you have non-registered investments, why would you continue to hold them all in Canada after witnessing the invoking of the War Measures Act? Be proactive and call our friends at Rocklink Investment Partners and ask about how you can move some of your non-registered investments outside of Canada to add another layer of protection between your wealth and the federal government. Send Rocklink an email today and ask about how you can protect your assets offshore. Email Rocklink at info@rocklink.com or visit them at www.rocklink.com. That's link with a C. So our last story to wrap up this trans mania whirlwind has to do with someone we've talked about before, and I'm sure many of us wish that we could forget both him and the images of his utterly obscene shop class moments. And this is Kayla Lemieux, a shop teacher at Oakville Trafalgar High School, who dressed as a woman in super tight and super revealing clothes, wearing comically large prosthetic breasts as well. Well, it turns out that he's no longer teaching at the school, which is great news for students there. This is from the Toronto Sun, as we show you a picture of this man, both in his natural state and his rather unnatural state. This reads from the Sun. It was, ironically, a picture of an Oakville teacher reportedly dressed as a man, not ones of the shop instructor clothed as a busty woman, that led to that person's departure from the classroom. But it is now official the teacher Kayla Lemieux, known previously as Carrie Lemieux, is no longer teaching at Oakville Trafalgar High School. While not currently on an active assignment, the teacher remains employed with the HDSB, the Halton District School Board, said a board spokesperson, Heather Francie. It was still a rare comment on a personal matter from the board. Sorry, it was still a rare comment on a personnel matter from the board, which has said little these past 7 months since Lemieux showed up in an industrial arts class wearing a wig, lipstick, shorts, and displaying Z-cup breasts with protruding nipples under a tight-fitting sweater. It had been a circus ever since. Oh, it's been a grand
no kidding
circus. And he looks like someone who is indeed involved in a circus act.
Yes, we live in a clown world. The Sun continues. The New York Post hired a Toronto photographer to work with their reporters to learn more about Kayla Lemieux and spent a month doing research. While the Post team took pictures and videos of Lemieux dressed as a woman, it also captured an image which the paper claimed showed Lemieux without breasts and dressed in men's attire. That changed the game and resulted in Lemieux never being in the class again. While the teacher told the Toronto Sun the picture was not me, quote unquote, the Post stuck by it, insisting they knew the teacher's routine, car, license plate, apartment building, and neighbors. Despite people in the building telling the media, the picture is a ringer of the male version of Lemieux, the teacher remained defiant. I can't tell you who that is because I don't want to bring anyone else into this, Lemieux told the Post. I don't want the person being thrown all over the media, but it wasn't me. This is who I am. This is how I look. You've been talking to people in my building, but what they're telling you is harsh and untrue. I'm always going out looking the way that I am. The teacher claimed a rare condition called gigantomastia, that's the big boobs, and that XX chromosomes and hormone sensitivity to estrogen played a role in this intersex-born person growing extra large breasts. When challenged to provide a diagnosis to support the natural growing breast assertion, Lemieux said, the diagnosis is based on verbal discussions I have had with my doctor. And, quote, I've never requested a note or a letter of the followings. Unless any of Lemieux's claims could be medically verified, sources said there was no path for the teacher to return to the classroom. So that's crazy, Andrew. He was not fired or let go or put on leave for pretending to be a woman.
Yeah, they couldn't do that.
Wearing tight-fitting clothes.
There's a material human rights issue there. They don't want to roll those dice.
Yeah, and wearing tight-fitting clothes that violated the school's dress policy and wearing huge, augmented, totally hyper-real, unreal breasts in doing so, which were absolutely unsafe for the settings that he was working in. He was put on leave because he dared to go outside not wearing a costume.
Yeah, and proving that it was all fake.
Yeah.
Proving that it was all fake. That he lied about all of this. And that he was... I don't know, because I don't know this man's heart. I don't know this man's mind. But there's kind of two options. One option is he knows that this is all very much not real. He knows that this is fiction. And he's really doubling down on the lie, and he's really, really trying to get around it. Or there's a sense that he is so deluded and deceived himself that he believes that. So that quote when he said, listen, my neighbors are wrong, that's not me. He could be lying, or he could legitimately say, no, that's not me. The real me is the wig and the fake boobs. Like, he could be
and Andrew,
that he believes that that's true.
But Andrew, from their vantage point, from the pro-trans vantage point, how is that anything different than what the trans people are saying?
Right.
Right? That's not different, because they have this Cartesian dualism where the body and the soul or the mind, the psyche of human beings are so radically separate that you can say, I'm a male trapped in a female's body, or I'm a female trapped in a male's body, that is totally insane and totally contra-creational, because right. human beings are hylomorphic, their body and soul integrated, fully we're integrated human beings, and you can't get around that. So this Cartesian dualism is totally insane, but him saying that, as delusional as it may be, it just highlights the actual delusion of the trans ideology and the trans agenda. It's craziness, but we live in a clown world, apparently, yeah. Andrew. So
yep.
Why should we be surprised?
Well, I think our episode today has made it painfully obvious that many Canadians, and by many Canadians, I include doctors, teachers, mm-hmm. and our prime minister, they live yeah. in an alternate reality where feelings mm-hmm. and self-expression determine reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And truth is punishable with fines and jail time. That's the world we live in. That's the Canada we live in. It has completed its transition into a clown world fairy tale. And by the way, that's why these stories matter. These stories matter because we live in the real world, and we're required by God to say what is true, to observe what is true, and to not be taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophies. These are all science fiction, all pretend world stories. And in Canada, which can be a trans woman ugly kind of place at times, people can be punished for saying what's true and observable. But here's the reality. Men cannot be women. Women cannot be men. It is normal, right, and preferred for men to be men and for them to marry and have sex with women who are women. But counseling someone in this way in Canada could get you up to 5 years in jail and up to a $500,000 fine. That's the Canada we live in. Now, as we wrap things up, I want to read a portion of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's famous essay, Live Not by Lies. This is written on February 12th, 1974, the day that he was arrested by secret police for speaking out against Russian lies and tyranny. We've linked to it as well. I highly recommend reading the whole essay. It's about four pages. This is just select portions from his essay. We have been so hopelessly dehumanized that for today's modest ration of food, we are willing to abandon all our principles, our souls, and all the efforts of our predecessors, and all the opportunities for our descendants, but just don't disturb our fragile existence. We don't even fear universal nuclear death, and we don't fear a third world war. We have already taken refuge in the crevices. We just fear acts of civil courage. We've been indoctrinated in political courses, and in just the same way was fostered the idea to live comfortably, and all will be well for the rest of our lives. And the simplest and most accessible key to our self-neglected liberation lies right here: personal non-participation in lies. Though lies conceal everything, though lies embrace everything, we will be obstinate in this smallest of matters. Let them embrace everything, but not with any help from me. Let each of us make a choice, whether consciously to remain a servant of falsehood. Of course, that is not out of inclination. But to feed one's family, that one raises his children in the spirit of lies, or to shrug off the lies and become an honest man worthy of respect both by one's children and contemporaries. You say it will not be easy, but it will be easiest of all possible resources. It will not be an easy choice for the body, but it is only one for a soul. No, it is not an easy path. But there are already people who over the years have maintained all these points and live by the truth. So you will not be the first to take this path, but will join those who have already taken it. This path will be easier and shorter for all of us if we take it by mutual efforts and in close rank. If there are thousands of us, they will not be able to do anything with us. If there are tens of thousands of us, we would not even recognize our country. If we are too frightened, then we should stop complaining that someone is suffocating us. We ourselves are doing it. Let us then bow down even more. Let us wait, and our brothers, the biologists, will help to bring nearer the day when they will be able to read our thoughts, are worthless and hopeless. And if we get cold feet taking this step, then we are worthless and hopeless.
Profound stuff from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And this is absolutely what we can do in our daily lives. It's to be utterly defiant as it pertains to not telling lies. And that's why, at great cost to you and myself, Andrew, we have not played the game. We have not told the lies. We have gone out of our way to actually heap scorn on lies, on obfuscation via euphemism, on all these tactics that the left likes to use to win the culture war, to frame the debate. That is what we're here to do. And we're not playing the game. Like, unfortunately, the father in the clip that we saw, he tried to play the game. He thought by playing the game, he could infiltrate subtly and then get his point across. But they're not fools. They're ideological idiots. They're wicked through and through, but they're not fools. They shut him down, even though he used all their language. In the same way, the Conservative Party likes to play all their games, likes to adopt all their standards. And what happens? They continue to lose and lose and lose. And the entire country and politics gets thrust leftward. Over and over and over again, we continue to try and play these subtle games that are subtly living by the lie. And we think that by adopting those premises, that we can fight them on their own terms. Like, if so many people were big fan of Leslyn Lewis, despite her unknown political record, her lack of, in many cases, political savvy, all these things. Why? Because she's a black female immigrant. So the conservatives are like, ha, let's beat them at their own intersectional game. No, you have to reject the game. You have to fight the game. You can't live by lies in that way, even if it might pragmatically help you get into power. That's why over and over again on this program, we're telling the truth. Sadly, we're indebted to True North. We're friends with some of the people over there. We use a lot of their articles and reporting. They use inclusive language in a lot of the stuff that they do. They play the game. They adopt the worldly standards. That is not what we need in this hour. We need to push back. We need to stand firm on the truth. And that's where we have to live or die. And we cannot sacrifice truth on the altar of peace, because that is how we get into a situation like Alexander Solzhenitsyn's talking about, that the one thing that Soviet people aren't afraid of world wars, nuclear fallout. The one thing that they fear is civil courage and what that will mean. And that is why we need more people speaking up, speaking out. And we need to be a united voice together for Canadians' freedoms and liberties. And we need to fight back against what's being indoctrinated into our children in schools, in TV shows, in every space. We need to push back on school boards who are ideologically motivated and who have totally gotten out over their skis, and they think they're the education czars of the world, and they're not there to respect parents and to make sure children are getting an education. We have to continue to speak up and push back. We cannot let comfort so take over our lives, become an idol that we're not willing to let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also. And when we're talking about favorite hymns, Andrew, that is one of my favorite hymns, is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, because it helps reorient us in where our strength comes. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And if we stand on that sure foundation, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, God has willed that his truth should triumph through us. And that is our great hope. That is why during the Reformation, these reformers would sing that bold hymn to go out into battle, to go out and proclaim the gospel against civil power, against religious and ecclesiastical power. They stood firm, and many had enough courage to even pay with their lives for the truth that they had in the pages of Holy Writ. So that's why we need, that's why we're different here at LCC, Andrew. I know you say it all the time. We're not in this for political games. We're not in this for, you know, to try and sway the path. We're in this standing firm on the truth of God's word. And that means we're willing to stand on that truth even to the point of death. Like our forefathers, like the so many Christians that have gone before us. And that is why, you know, even Napoleon, you know, he said he fears, you know, no army of 1,000 men like he fears one Calvinist who believes they're doing the will of God. Why? Because they have victory in Christ. And even if they kill our mortal bodies, we still will reign with him. And we will ultimately triumph. And that's why we must stand up. That's why we must push back. And that's why we exist at the LCC.
So before you wrap up our show, I'll close off with a verse from my favorite hymn that interestingly enough doesn't appear in most hymn books, which is sad to say. Normally they have four of the five verses, but they don't include this fifth verse. And this is how we want to leave you, dear friend, dear brother or sister in Christ, to encourage you to be faithful in the days ahead. So the verse that's oft unsung in my favorite hymn is, "Praise to the Lord who, when darkness of sin is abounding, who, when the wicked do prosper, all wisdom confounding, sheddeth his light, chaseth the horrors of night, saints with his mercy surrounding."
Beautiful. Till next time, Galatians 5:1.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.
Friends, we're posting new content multiple times every week throughout our various shows on this channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to it and hit that notification bell. That way you stay up to date with everything that we're releasing here with the Liberty Coalition Canada.